The issue of a graying federal workforce certainly isn't unique to the IRS, but Commissioner John Koskinen says the numbers for his agency have grown particularly stark over the last several years. More than half of the IRS's employees are over age 50, and a quarter will be eligible for retirement by next year. On the other end of the age spectrum, only 1,900 of the agency's 87,000 employees are under 30, and half of those are part-time. Only 650 employees nationwide are 25 or younger.
Essentially, the IRS is facing its own version of the baby bust. The situation makes it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the IRS to properly develop the next generation of leaders. We estimate that by next year, 41% of our frontline managers and 61% of our executives will be eligible to retire. With so many departures go knowledge and expertise that we will find difficult or impossible to replace, especially if our severe underfunding continues.
As it is, much of the IRS's current leadership is made up of relatively new faces. 46% of the executives who were serving in 2010 are no longer with the agency, and some divisions have seen turnover rates as high as 80%.
The changes are so significant throughout the agency that you could hang a sign out at the front of the headquarters saying, "Under new management." Tax issues aren't simple, and neither are the core skills we need to run the IRS. For our technical positions, it's not like hiring people for a fast food restaurant or a grocery store. When we hire a tax auditor, it takes years for them to reach full productivity. And it can take even longer for those auditing the largest, toughest, most complicated corporate cases that involve complex issues spanning industries and national boundaries. That's one of the reasons we've decided, even in this budget environment, that we have to continue to train our employees to ensure they are as prepared as possible to deal effectively with taxpayers and their questions and problems.
Speaking Wednesday at the National Press Club, Koskinen didn't specify exactly how much new hiring the agency plans to do in fiscal 2016, but the past several years of hiring restrictions were seen as unavoidable since a vast majority of the agency's budget is taken up by personnel costs. Its funding has been cut by $1.2 billion since 2010, and a total of 16,000 people have left the agency since then. The IRS estimates that this year's cuts alone, $346 million, will mean $2 billion that would normally wind up in the Treasury because of routine audits and law enforcement will be left uncollected.
This is a classic example of being penny-wise and pound-foolish. We are also seeing a noticeable negative impact on taxpayer service. This year, we were forced to substantially reduce hiring of extra seasonal help we usually bring in during the filing season. As a result, our phone level of service is now below 40%. That means that 6 out of every 10 people who call can't reach a customer service representative. This truly is an abysmal level of service.
Koskinen said the funding shortfalls have also meant that despite a decade-long series of programs to upgrade its technology systems, it's not been able to keep up with its modernization needs. And for now, it has modern IT running alongside a myriad of antiquated systems.
We have many applications running when John F. Kennedy was president. But the only good thing you can say about them is that the code they use has been out of date for so long that it has the unintended effect of creating problems for any hackers who might try to figure out how the system actually works. But this ancient technology compromises the stability and reliability of our information systems and leaves us open to more system failures and potential security breaches. While IRS systems have held up well, it's a continuing area of major concern for us. In this era of daily headlines of major companies and institutions seeing security breaches.
Koskinen made clear he doesn't think the IRS is being funded at the levels necessary to meet the missions Congress has given it, but he says even if his budget is partially restored, his task is not simply to recreate the same capabilities the agency had during rosier times. For example, if it can make smart uses of IT, the fact that it can't afford as many employees to staff seasonal call centers won't be such a big deal, because taxpayers will be able to handle more of their business online. He says there's no good reason the IRS's online self-service offerings can't be as comprehensive as what commercial banks already provide their customers.
The idea is that taxpayers would have an account at the IRS where they or their preparers can log in securely, get all the information about their account, and interact with the IRS as needed. Most things the taxpayers need to do to fulfill their obligations could be done virtually, and there would be much less need for in-person help, either by waiting in line at an IRS assistance center are calling the IRS. Improving service to taxpayers in this way can also help us on the compliance side of the equation. We need to be faster and smarter. With a more modern system, the IRS could identify problems in tax returns when a return is filed, rather than coming back to taxpayers years after the fact, while the meter is running on potential interest and penalties. We want to interact with taxpayers as soon as possible on these issues so that they can be corrected without costly follow-up, contact, or labor-intensive audits. The upfront issue identification effort could also help in other areas as well, such as the ongoing battle over the use of stolen identities to file fraudulent tax returns.
But before the IRS takes more of its business online, it has a lot of work to do on the identity management front. Koskinen says the agency needs to come up with new ways to verify that a taxpayer accessing the web services he envisions is who they claim to be. So, earlier this month, the IRS, state tax officials, and tax software developers held a meeting in which they agreed to form three working groups that will find ways to verify taxpayers' identities by next tax season. The public-private consortium will also build a longer-term solution to identity management that reaches beyond next year.
Many of our efforts to improve taxpayer service will take years to fully implement. Our progress will be affected by many factors, including changes in the tax law, the continuing evolution of refund fraud, and the demographics of our aging workforce. And of course, how quickly we can deliver on this concept will depend on future levels of agency funding. But even with our constrained funding, we are going to continue to find some funds to support these efforts to build toward the future, even at the expense of other areas of operations. Otherwise, if we just wage a guerrilla-style fight every year through the continuing funding challenges, focusing only on the present, we'll wake up in 5 years and be no further ahead than where we are today, and in fact, we'll be 5 years farther behind.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.